Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we take a look at Cyberpunk 2077 Xbox footage, Capcom info leak, and we talk a little about Microsoft's plans for Bethesda's content. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up? I'm Joey.
And I'm Rob. And as always, before we go into all of that, let us go into what we have been playing.
And yes, I'm first, as always. And
every time.
Yeah, so, well, pretty big month. I mean, this is it. This is the month we all been waiting for. The Xbox Series S and the X have arrived. The PS5 has arrived. I got my PS5. Yeah, and I'm very, very excited. I'm finally excited about all the features and everything that was shown. We finally have them in our hands. And everything is just so great right now in terms of gaming. It's a lot of games. I always mention this every time, but it's a lot of games. And this is the first time I'm like immersed back into Just gaming in general, and that's with the PS5, because the PS5 definitely helps with just how fast things go. Well, that's the whole like talking point with the selling point with the PS5, how fast everything is, and everything is very, very fast. It's making me enjoy games a lot more, throwing me right into them, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. I've been playing some Miles Morales. So Spider-Man, I've been playing Sackboy Big Adventure, I've been playing Demon's Souls, I've been playing a lot of stuff. First I want to start off with Demon's Souls, and Demon's Souls is exactly how I remembered it in my head. Like, you know, if you show me Demon's Souls on PS3, I would be like, wow, what is this game in terms of how it looks? But Demon's Souls is just like the pinnacle of what a launch game should be. Graphics are amazing. I know we talked about the character creator, Rob, last time. And yes. It definitely, yeah, this is, the character creator here is beautiful. It's, you could create people who look normal. They don't look like monstrosities, and it's very easy to create them. I honestly, with Demon's Souls, if you're a Souls fan and you played Demon's Souls before and you played all the Souls games, then definitely get it, because it's just a reimagination of what you love to play. Newcomers, I would actually recommend it. The reason why is because the PS5's UI. The PS5's UI gives you like tips while you're playing Demon's Souls, and you could just like pop the PlayStation button and you could get tips on how to play the game. And it's pretty remarkable, like this exists now, because you might not know something about a game, and you know, with the PS5, everything loads up so fast, you're not looking at your phone much. Usually when a game loads on PS4, you know, I would just pull up my phone. Let me go ahead and check something real fast. Yeah. Let me go ahead and do this. Let me go ahead and do that. The loading is so quick, guys. So quick. And it is crazy that we have been playing games for this long and have not been complaining about loading. I know Ghost of Tsushima doesn't count because that game actually loads fast on the PS4. But all the majority of other games are, you know, we're just very, very slow at loading. And this shows it right here, because in the amount of time that a game loads on a PS5, you just blink and you're automatically there in a different world. And that's with Demon's Souls. That's with Miles. And it's the same with the tips I'm telling you guys about. Like, you know, you could just pop open your PlayStation button. You have to have PlayStation Plus for this feature. And you can look at game tips and, you know, you might find something that you didn't know about the game. That might help you. So newcomers, I definitely recommend it. Again, it gets you in a different mood. You know, with the fast loading, no more, you know, when you die, loading takes forever where you lose interest. No, you're right back into the action. And graphically, it's one of the best looking games ever, like so far, that I have seen. And I know a lot of people are playing Demon's Souls in 60 frames per second, 60 frames per second mode. I'm actually playing it on cinematic mode, just with the 30 frames. Then it, for me, it's because I love fidelity modes. Even though the developers did go for 60 frames per, they did that. That was their like target. So that's something that we found out recently. With Demon's Souls, that 60 frames was their target. And they actually hit it. If you go to performance mode, you get a full 60 frames and it's locked. And it feels nice. Because I did switch the modes on and off. So it does feel nice, but I like playing in fidelity mode. It gives you, you know, the native 4K. And it gives you more tessellation, so things pop up more. But it's not that big of a difference. Or so they say. I mean, I'm picky about it. So Demon's Soul is fun. And yeah, I can't wait to play more of it. Because I'm playing all these games little by little. And yeah, Demon's Souls is definitely going to take my time. And I'm trying like to take it all in, like all the areas, you know, that I used to see before and seeing them reimagined. And I'm just trying to take it all in. And I'm just wowed by it, by Demon's Souls. The other thing that I've been playing, Sackboy, Big Adventure. So that I've been playing with my husband. We have been playing it. We've been loving it. It definitely gets the Mario 3D Land concept out. This is Sony's like Mario 3D Land. And it works. It works. It really looks nice. It's fun to play. That's definitely like the must. It has to be fun to play. Sackboy is no longer floaty. It feels like a Mario game. And you could customize stuff. Again, if you're into co-op, that would be something to get for your PS5. I'm surprised how good the games are this at launch. That's what I'm surprised about. Sackboy is one where, you know, it could be kind of like, yeah, I don't know about it. I don't think so. Like, this might not work out well, but they got the platforming right. And there's a lot of inspired levels. Something to note with Sackboy is that there's a level for like a song, like a modern song in every world that you go to. That it just, you know, when you platform it and you just walk around the level, everything goes to like a modern song. So that's pretty dope. So, I'm just surprised that, you know, even Sackboy is good. And now to my favorite, one of them all so far. And this is because I 100%ed the game already, and it's Miles Morales, Spider-Man. And yeah, I was just so happy to play it. Like just playing this game, it just had a feel good vibe to it. And everything was paced nicely. It wasn't too long. I mean, it could have been longer and I would have been okay with it. That's for sure. And yeah, everything just flowed right. I know you guys are going to be talking more about it because we all played Miles, just in general. But yeah, I did a full 100%. And usually when I'm done with a game, it's, you know, I beat the story. If the gameplay loop is good, I'll go back to it. This one, I went back to it real, real fast once I beat it. Got all the data cache, got all the collectibles, got everything. So I was having fun with the DualSense control as well. It was just fun, and it was cool to see someone Hispanic being in the role. Like that was cool for me, being Hispanic myself. Seeing that play out with his mom, just the whole drama with his mom, them speaking Spanish. I'm like, wow, I would actually like not say that, but this is something that my mom would probably say if I was Spider-Man. Like, if I was Spider-Man,
if
maybe
only you were Spider-Man.
Yeah, if only I was Spider-Man. But this is something that, you know, my mom would say, or she would like, you know, like it's just one of those things where just seeing someone who looks like you, who has a similar culture as you, it's just, you know, just seeing that is refreshing, especially in the New York setting, since I'm from New York. And it was cool to see. It was just, everything was cool to see, just how everything played out in Miles Morales. It definitely felt like I was a part of the bigger picture in that game. In that sense, like I just felt there, and it just felt good playing that game with everything that was going on. It just made me happy. So Miles Morales, great launch title. Another one, like the PS5 launch titles are amazing. What I played of them, they are amazing. I also got Ultimate Mortal Kombat 11. So I actually owned Mortal Kombat 11 when it first came out. I sold it because I rather play Street Fighter. I'd rather play Capcom, you know, just Capcom fighters. And like, I was playing Dragon Ball Fighters at that time as well. I was playing a lot of other fighting games. And Mortal Kombat, I do always support. I support fighting games just in general. But I get real, real bored of the gameplay of Mortal Kombat. And I just got Ultimate Mortal Kombat 11 because I'm like, hey, every launch, I always get a fighting game. So let's go ahead and do it. And it looks great. Mortal Kombat 11 always looked great. And the PS5 version, there is a PS5 version that did come out on the 17th. And yeah, all I could say is that it looks great. It didn't look bad, you know, when it was on PS4. Now it's just native 4K, and the lighting is a bit better. So there's really not much to say. I mean, Rambo's in it. Yay, I guess. For me, it's like, yay.
And he looks like Stallone, right?
Yes.
It was based off his old, young self.
Yeah, so it is Stallone. Now you have RoboCop and Rambo, and the Joker, and Spawn. So you have all these different characters mixed in. Yeah, and Mortal Kombat 11, that's, you know, I'll play it for a bit. I always get a fighting game every like launch, so I'll play it for a bit and we'll see how it goes. But you know, my fighting game time is with Capcom. it just stays there. It just stays with Capcom. And one of the last things I've been playing, and this is actually crazy because this game was popping up everywhere when you go to different gaming communities. The game is called Fuser, and it's by Harmonix. And Harmonix made Guitar Hero, Rock Band. Yes, Rock Band. They made pretty much all the music titles, like all the music rhythm games they have touched. Dance Central.
They made all the popular shit from 20 years, or not 20 years ago, like 10 years ago that no one cares about anymore.
Yeah, the plastic instruments. Yes. The stockpile of plastic instruments. So, Harmonix has made a new game. And everyone, it's called Fuser. Please get the game. Please run out and get the game. And you know, look, it's already no. Harmonix usually has like bad luck with like how they sell. Besides like the Rock Band and the Guitar Heroes.
Well, they've had bad luck since Rock Band, and even then, like they haven't had the best luck.
Yeah.
Well, what with Mad Catz going out of business, and they were doing the peripherals for Rock Band 4. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
yeah.
You see, it's sad. It's sad listening to that because Fuser is so good, so good. Like I can't even. You have to, this is a game that you have to play. If you ever wanted to DJ, if you ever wanted to mess around with music, again, Harmonix is like they're musical gods, gaming gods. They know how to make fun music games. I know Rob is about to like say completely no, but they know how to make music games fun. They do. This is not DJ Hero. This is completely a whole different thing than DJ Hero. DJ Hero, you had that plastic peripheral. Again, that's what they're known for. Fuser, on the other hand, you actually buy music. So they made a board game or a game, physical game, that's called Drop Mix. In Drop Mix, you could mix music and pretty much make your own mix of songs. Well, Fuser expands on that. Fuser lets you take different sections of the songs that you put together. And you could take like the instrument off the music, and you could take different parts of the song and just mix music. The game gives you a single player campaign, and the campaign is pretty much a tutorial on what to do. And it slowly shows you how to mix music, like slowly. And obviously with a tutorial, it may not seem fun. It doesn't sound fun. When they're teaching you stuff and you might fail, but when you get it, when it clicks, everything that they're showing you, it clicks, and each and every step you go, they up the ante on what you could do with the songs. It's incredible. It is so incredible. Like it's one of the best games I played this year. Like hands down. It's one of those games that makes you think like, wow, this is why I love gaming, because you could do so much things in it. And this is like, I'm being a DJ pretty much. And I learned this off of this game. Like I learned how to phase songs in and out. Again, it's all in a fun way. It's all in a fun way. And, you know, it's like this pretend life that you're a DJ. Like I put my headphones on, I blast the music, and I'm mixing these songs. I feel so good about myself and, you know, things sound good. And that's what I love about Harmonix games. They really get you out of thinking about, you know, the way games are supposed to make you feel. Like, and with them, it's music. In music, for this game, you're creating it. They're giving you so much freedom to do, do anything you want with it. So I find they're just the whole game impressive. And you could actually do multiplayer battles as well. And it's a completely different game once you go to multiplayer. So I'm just very, very impressed by it. I love playing Fuser. So if there's one game I could tell you I recommend and you want to support like music games, get Fuser. That it's an amazing game. If you want something fun and something different. So that's what I've been playing a lot of with my PS5. So yeah, that's all I've been playing. Probably a few more here and there, but yeah, those are like the top of the top. So Joey, what have you been playing? Because I know you got a Series X.
I did. And yeah. I guess we will start there. And Bright Memory, there's a review on the site actually for that, or kind of more impressions more than anything. It's kind of hard to review a game that's like 45 minutes long. So a lot of people probably remember Bright Memory Infinite. That was like one of the big things at one of Microsoft's, you know, handful of conferences this year, because it looks really good. But Bright Memory is kind of like a precursor, and it was made by one guy. So, like, some of the assets are, like, kind of rough, and, like, it's not something normally you'd want to showcase, like, launch games. You know, got a new hardware, has all this power, let's show somebody this. Bright Memory is not really one of those games. It's kind of rough, and it's just a pretty sloppy port. Like, the menus are ripped straight from the PC version. I mean, there's, like, anything you can imagine, like VSync, anti-aliasing, all types of different things you can do, which is kind of cool because it kind of shows that consoles are getting closer and closer to being like PCs, essentially. But it's a little rough, and like, instead of like being able to like, I don't know, hit, you know, B to go back, you have to go over the X in the top right corner and actually exit out. A lot of games do it. They're like cursors now, essentially, but it's super slow moving across the screen. But other than that, like, it has some good ideas, like the combat, because it's a mixture of, like, you have three weapons, a assault rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. But you also have the ability to, like, conjure up a blade, and you can do, like, an AoE attack, a long-range attack with it, or just a regular melee attack. And, like, it's cool mixing the two, and then you also have other abilities. So you can like essentially like throw an EMP, you can slow down time. It kind of reminds me of like a very, very light Devil May Cry, like something like that.
But it's a first person like shooter, right?
Right. Mixed with kind of like a kind of remind me of Dishonored a lot too, just in the movement, because it's a little bit quicker. And it has a lot of good ideas. Like, the boss fights are pretty cool. They're more of your typical, kind of how games are going now, like big set pieces kind of. So it's a neat game. It's just like, they wanted it for launch, so they like forced it out for launch. And like, it's just not something you'd like want to showcase somebody, I guess. Like, it's only, I think, $7 or something. I've wasted $7 on things a lot worse than that. So, like, if you really need something to play and you don't mind, it's going to be repetitive because it's only 45 minutes. So, yeah, it's an interesting game. And I think a lot of people were excited just because Bright Memory Infinite, that's going to have a proper budget, a proper studio behind it. Whereas this was a single dude doing it. So, it's okay. You kind of got to go in with your expectations kind of low. But yeah, that my impressions are on the site, and kind of like what I talked about, it's okay. It has some good ideas. It's just not like fully fleshed out. A game that is certainly fully fleshed out. Yakuza Like a Dragon, or Yakuza 7, I think everywhere else but in the US, I guess. Yakuza games are really, really good.
Yeah.
I started playing probably at the worst time possible, like 2 weeks before the consoles launched. Yakuza 0, I think it was. That was the remake, right?
No, Kiwami.
No, that's a prequel. Kiwami is the remake.
Okay, yes. It was the prequel I was playing. It was Zero, because I was playing it on Game Pass. I enjoyed it enough, but then consoles came out, so I was like, just kind of dropped it. But the change to turn-based, like their battle system is, I feel like it's so risky because they've always been like that real-time battle system, right? Like, it was always just like a character action game.
Yeah, it was a brawler. Now, yeah. You say it's risky. You say it's risky. Just starting to play them, but just fans who have been playing them for a longer time, and they know about this series, just you know, mm-hmm. when it first started, they actually thought it was getting stale. So this is actually a good change. Some people might not like it. I get it, and it's the same with God of War. When God of War, you know, when they did the reboot, pretty much, or the reimagining of the gameplay, it's the same thing. It made it better. So I haven't played Like a Dragon, but it's interesting that I could say.
I wasn't sure how it was going to be, but I enjoy it a lot. And like, I don't know, Yakuza games are just like so, I mean, it's kind of so Japanese, you know? And like, I was reading some interviews about, who makes it?
It's Sega.
Who are the actual developers, though?
I think
Ryogogaku or something, right?
It's like Team Audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's like the name of Yakuza in Japan. I always forget how to say it.
Anyway.
Ryugakuten, I think.
Yeah. So, I was reading a kind of interview like they had over there, and like they were saying like that's why they think it does so well is because like it's very, very like Japanese, you know. They don't do really anything to make it relate to the Western audience, except for obviously like they have full lip sync for English, which I think is insane because there's so much dialogue in those games. And it's like actually a really well done like dub too, which is awesome. But like, I don't know. It's just, it's such a wild game. Like any Yakuza game, I assume. Like one of the early missions, like there's a guy that's polluting the river by peeing in it every day. So he's like a serial urinator and you have to stop him. But then you have like, it's like a super minor spoiler for a very early mission, but like, then you have like super touching, like missions where there's a guy that owns a pawn shop and there's all types of trash on the road. But the reason why there's like what looks like trash to everybody else is because he's grief stricken because his wife died. So like, it's super touching. And, the lead character, Ichiban, he's such a good like lead character because he's just like so human. And he's like such a caring person. And I feel like just coming out during a pandemic, it's just ironic because like a lot of people aren't like that. So it's just a perfect time for a game like that to come out. And yeah, I'm like 100% sold on it. I think I've played like 15 hours or so, and I'm probably like a quarter way through, I'm guessing. But yeah, it's good. And like you were saying, it loads so fast. Funny thing happened actually just before we started recording when I was playing it. For some reason, when like the Series X, sometimes it doesn't, like the signal doesn't come through on my TV for whatever reason. So I just have to, you know, I usually pop the disc out and pop it back in after I turn it off and on. So I popped the disc out, assuming it wouldn't keep where I was, and popped it back in, and then it just resumed right where I was, like, which is insane. It's so hard to like remember that that's a thing after
having it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just dealing with these consoles that, I mean, if we compare them to PS3 to PS4, like PS3 was super slow, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's that jump, if not more somehow.
Yeah.
And it's so fast.
And with the PS5, you know, you just open up like the activity cards and you go straight to
jump where you save states.
Yeah, where you want to like go to. And that's how I actually completed Miles 100% because, you know, I was just jumping through activities and it made it so much more fun just doing it that way because I was just like going through them like one by one. And like I said, like the biggest difference with these consoles, we were just talking, just the ease, the quickness, speed. the ease of use, to get places, and the activity car stuff is great. Quick resume is great. Like, you know, that stuff right there is just making console gaming just much better. Now, one thing I would argue though is that the UI, it's not the most stable. It's coming in hot. It's definitely coming in hot with these systems.
I mean, I could flat out say it. I don't like the UI of the PS5 at all. I think the main UI, the icons are way too small, shoved at the top, which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
For me, I like the UI, but I don't like the new PlayStation button. I don't like the new PlayStation
button. It's hard to hit for me.
No. It's not hard. For me, it's not that it's hard to hit.
It's strange.
It's, one, you have to get used to just tapping it to bring up the quick menu instead of holding it like the PS4.
Yep. I always
hold
it.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is that the actual menu on the PlayStation button on the DualSense, it's pretty much just a logo and it's like dark black and it's hard to see. Mm-hmm. I wish they just would have stuck the PS4 one button on there and just left it like that. Yep. That's my criticism with the whole UI and how it works with it. But the UI had, for me, it's nice, the UI. It's new.
I'll save the criticisms for later.
Yeah.
I'll save that for later so we can get through this. Anyway, got a sidetrack. But yeah, been playing Miles as well. I didn't use the activity cards. I swung around literally everywhere. I think I fast traveled like 3 times or something. That's it. Which is so strange. Like you go in and you see, you know, sitting on a subway for literally like half a second, and then you're walking out of the subway. So it's like an insanely fast travel. Yeah, Miles is a super good game. I wish it was a little longer, obviously, but just due to the time of them getting out so quickly from, you know, the first Spider-Man, it wasn't going to be long. And Miles is way more of an interesting character than Peter Parker is. And, like, for me, it's, like, not even that close. Like, that whole game just has so much more character than the previous game does. That's kind of how I felt when I was playing it. A lot of his abilities are pretty cool. Enemies cool. And, yeah. I mean, like, it feels... It's, like, such muscle memory coming from Spider-Man because, like, it's the base game. Like, it is Spider-Man, you know? So everything kind of felt the same. It was so easy to jump back into doing combos, so on and so forth. And the last game I played, before this gets too long-winded, Astrobot, and that is easily the best game to show the new technology off that's in the controller than, like, any game ever. The one spot that really, like, hit me, I was like, okay, like, this thing's the real deal, is when you pop open the umbrella and then the rain starts hitting the top of it and it turns to, like, hail or whatever.
Oh, yes. I remember that part.
That was insane.
Yeah.
Like, that one part, I was like, okay, like, maybe this could be a thing, you know? And then, like the tension in L3 and R3, like, you feel it. And then when it gives way, like, I think it's in, when you're just around the hub areas where you're doing, like, the claw machine game or whatever it is, like, yeah. When you squeeze it, like, you feel it and then it releases. Like, it's pretty insane. I don't know how everybody's going to use that.
Well,
but people definitely could.
Well, I do have a game that I did not mention, and I played it briefly. and I played it briefly because I wanted to see the actual update, and that's Watch Dogs Legion. And remember when I said that, you know, before the PS4 game was trash visually, I felt like it was just off completely visually. I mentioned it before, and it shouldn't have been on the PS4. Well, I was exactly right, because on the PS5, it's a completely different game visually and performance-wise. Now, going into the DualSense, you know, you said you imagine how other people are using it. Well, Watch Dogs Legion, it uses it with the adaptive triggers. So every gunshot feels like, I guess, a trigger of a gun, and you feel it recoiling back. You feel it, like, when you're about to press down on it, it, like, locks up. So it feels like you're shooting something, like, the recoil is intense. So you have a machine gun, it feels like you're, like, clicking a trigger, and it's, like, bouncing back at you. So it is pretty... It's amazing. It completely feels like a different game. Like the gunplay feels like a complete different game. So, and I hear Call of Duty is just as robust and even further, you know, further robust. Yeah. So yeah, what developers are going to do with the DualSense, it's going to be wild. And like you said, the rain stuff, that everything in Astro, really cool. Yeah, everything in Astrobot. And seeing it implemented in other games, like Demon Souls, there is a bit of Demon Souls as well. When you shoot arrows, you feel the tension in the triggers. And it feels very different. It doesn't feel like a normal rumble. This is what HD rumble really is supposed to feel like here. So I'm excited, just as you know, with that, because it's like the perfect showcase of what the control can do. And when more developers start using it, well, they all are using it right now, just in different ways. But when, you know, there's a big title, let's say the God of Wars, and we already see what they're doing with Astrobot, you know, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing thing, and it's going to really make a difference in certain games. It already is. So
Yeah, that game's good. Perfect, like, love letter to everything Sony, obviously. There's, like, I mean, that whole game's like an Easter egg. But yeah, that was finally it. Rob, take it away.
Okay. I haven't really been playing too many different things. I finally got to Heaven's Sword in Final Fantasy 14, but more than likely, I'm going to probably stop playing that here soon. Just because there's like a shit ton of stuff coming out. Unlike everyone else here, I did not get a PS5 or an Xbox Series S. But I did play Miles. I was going to wait till I got a PS5 to play Miles, but then I saw it was like Christmas themed, or it was set around Christmas, and I'm like, well, I have to play it now, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, this is like the season for it. Like, I have to. So I ended up buying it digitally. So it came with the PS5 version. So I was like, okay, cool. So I'll play that on the PS5 whenever. I didn't 100% it yet. I think I'm like 98%. But I don't have too much more else to do. I have like 3 or 4 underground caches to get, but they're at like control points, and I have to redo the whole control point, so I haven't been wanting to do those. But yes, I agree with your sentiment earlier, how Miles speaking Spanish kind of warmed my cold, dead heart. Yeah, because like him and his mom talking, and one of my kind of pet peeves with like Hispanic representation in video games or like in general media is they always speak Spanglish a little bit too. What's the word? In a way that doesn't seem natural. Like, you know, they'll just kind of like throw in Spanish words to make it sound more, shall we say, ethnic, but this it felt more natural because it's like you'll say phrases in Spanish, just kind of like normal everyday ones. Like his mom will say, you know, I love you, talk to you later, and that'd be in Spanish. So it felt a little bit more natural. Just kind of like seeing his interaction with his mom was great. I loved the. The cast was pretty like multicultural, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of diversity there, which was fantastic. And it actually felt like New York, like actual New York, not like taking place in the Friends universe New York, where everyone's white just about. Which was a little bit of a problem in Miles. In the regular Spider-Man. Yeah. I mean, sure, you did have like Negative Man, and you know, obviously Miles was in the first game, but it was cool to kind of see a little bit more diversity. And like, I mean, New York's is one of the most like diverse cities on the planet, so it makes sense to have like lots of different people. So
it adds to the immersion.
Also,
yeah, it definitely adds.
Yeah, it does. And I also finally figured out how to hive 5 people on the street. Oh, yeah. Because I never figured out how to do that in the original game. And so I finally figured out how to do that in this one. But I don't think there's an achievement for that. So, oh well. Or a trophy for it. But yes, overall it was great. I got a little teary at the end, which never usually happens for me with video games.
Same here.
But it was really, really good. I'd probably give it like an 8 or 8.5, just because it's a little bit short and there isn't much diversity in like the open world stuff, because there's only like, oh, here's a few things to do and then that's it. But they made good adjustments in terms of kind of helping distinguish Miles from Peter's power set and moveset.
Mm-hmm.
Since Miles has his venom attacks and venom abilities plus camouflaging and stuff like that, so I mean, that's really cool. But yeah, I liked Miles. I don't think I'll be getting the platinum. I'll try, because I kind of want to hold off on New Game Plus until I get the PS5, maybe, unless I'm antsy and just like, fuck it, I'll just replay it again, which is possible. But yeah, that one's there. And then I also got Kingdom Hearts Memory of Melody.
Mom, yeah,
think?
Kingdom Hearts Mom.
Yeah, it's Mom. I don't. I always forget what it stands for. That was the other rhythm game that came out the same week as Fuser, and it's clicking a lot better for me than when I played the demo, like a few weeks ago. Because like, there's a lot of stuff to remember, and that's not even on performer mode. Performer mode is some bullshit, I swear. But yeah, like there's like lots of songs. I am a little disappointed in some aspects, because one of the things I thought the game was going to be was a little bit more action focused, because like your teams go up in levels, and I assumed like you could get like not necessarily like gear, but like, you know, customize your character a little bit and equip things that kind of make the songs like easier or more challenging or whatever, but there's none of that. It's just like increasing your HP, which basically just means like you can fail a lot more before the song ends, which is fine. I would have liked more there. Plus I would have liked the ability, even like on a surface level, like to change the look of the characters depending on like the world they're in or like the song they're in based on the world they're in. But so far it's fine. It's recapping all of the Kingdom Hearts games. And right now actually before recording today, I finished through, Kingdom Hearts 2. So I finished 1, coded or recoded and 358 over 2 days. And then I have right now the path kind of branches off into Birth by Sleep and then Dream Drop Distance. And then it merges back again and then it goes into Kingdom Hearts 3.
Now, now correct me if I'm wrong. Because I played the demo that did release, and Does this have Disney music as well, or only Kingdom Hearts music?
Yes, but only a few songs. Okay. Like it has the Beauty and the Beast song from Beauty and the Beast. It has, I think, A Whole New World from Aladdin. And it has a song from Lion King, but it's not Hakuna Matata. I forget which song it is. The one after that, I forget. But yeah, they're there, but you have to kind of unlock them. It's not hard to unlock them. You basically have to like complete, because there's and that's another thing is like there's synthesis in the game where you can synthesize stuff, but it's mostly like extraneous crap, like some pictures and character art or whatever, but you also can synthesize I guess extra songs, and some of them are like medleys of like character themes, and then some of them are like Disney songs, but there's only like a handful. It's not like a whole lot of them, so that's a little bit disappointing, but they're there. And it's not even like the good songs. Like for Lion King, I would have liked Hakuna Matata. I feel like that's the most,
it's kind of a staple.
Yeah, like the most known song. Or Beauty and the Beast, sure, you know, Beauty and the Beast, the song itself is like, because that's a big ballroom scene, but it's kind of like be our guest it's gonna be kind of like the one everyone remembers.
Yeah,
so but I'm hoping there's more to it, because they can easily add more like songs and stuff. But as it is, like there's quite a few songs. There's like 2 songs per world, and like each game has. It's not going to be consistent. Like 1 and 2 have, you know, more worlds than like 358 by 2, and then coded and stuff like that. But they've got like 10, 12 worlds each, so. Plus, there's, like, boss levels, which are okay, but a little disappointing still. I know I'm kind of, like, talking down on it, but yeah, it's been fun so far. It honestly has been fun so far. I've just been playing it on beginner, just so I can get through it, because you have to play through the campaign to unlock all the songs before you can play them and just, you know, free play. So I've just been playing those on beginner just so I can get them done. But those are pretty good. So we'll see what happens next time if I get more done. So, all right, enough of that. Let us go into the topics. And the first one, I guess, is they finally showed off some comparison footage for Cyberpunk 2077. And
on consoles, so it's another thing to know.
Yeah.
Primarily on Xbox One X and the Series X. So, yeah, it's not too amazing looking. Like, not bad looking. But there isn't a huge gulf in terms of at least right now visually each game or each version of the game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be all
or
about
the game running on each console
feels, you know what I mean, like when you actually get it in your hands, because I mean this game's look like it has a, I think it has a really good art style, which helps it obviously. So like I think it's all going to come down to how it runs, because I can't imagine it's going to run that well on, you know, the previous gen consoles.
Well, here's...
I just can't see it.
The thing with this reveal, the, you know, console footage, is that they showed off the 1X version and the Series X version. Now, my whole thing with this, and I've been saying this, is that the base model version, the Xbox One S version, and the PS4 base model version are going to look so bad, or they're not going to run at all. So that's why it's crazy to me that they just shown off the Xbox One X version, because we know the Xbox One X is the mid-cycle refresh, and it definitely has enough power to run it at a somewhat decent looking rate. And we did see the One X version, and the One X version, it actually looks okay. Again, the streets are not populated like, you know, all these PC trailers they've been showing. But It looks like it's running underwater. It literally looks like they are showing us, you know, they're showing us just one portion of it, and they showed us a car driving around the city. Again, not many people walking on the sidewalks like it was advertised on, like, the PC version. It looks like it's running 20 frames per second, to be completely honest with you. It looks like it's running underwater.
I don't think it's running that badly, but I would have honestly preferred seeing like an actual like side-by-side of the same footage on... I mean, essentially, it's not going to look very different, because the right now the Series X version that they have, or the footage, is basically the Xbox One version running on the Series X rather than the one with all the fancy upgrades,
which is coming next year
So I've seen a lot of people are like, oh, well, it looks the same, like, yeah it's the same game. It's not
backwards compatible.
This is not
just running at 30 frames
the next gen
patch. It's just running at 30 frames.
it's gonna run theoretically in better resolution and better frame rate. Mm-hmm. that's all it is. Yep. it's not like the big fancy edition. Probably haven't worked on that shit yet.
Oh, I highly doubt it. They're just trying to get this thing out.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, you know, temper your expectations. That's what what's going in. But even then, like the, because they also released the PC requirements, and for the most part, it seems fairly restrained, I guess. But it doesn't say what the frames per second is. It just shows the resolution.
I hate when they do that.
It's like, okay, this runs at 1440, but what does that mean? But for the most part, like, without ray tracing, like, for like recommended settings, you know, it's nothing super high end. It's like you can do a 1060, 12 gigs of RAM. Like, processor wise, it's like a 4790 Intel, and then like a Ryzen 3200G. So like CPU isn't very intensive, which makes sense. And then that's at high settings for like the graphics card, mm-hmm. or the graphics settings. So it doesn't surprise me that it should be okay to run like on the refreshes. But yeah, like I can't imagine anyone running that on like the base original launch Xbox One.
It's probably going to feel like how, what was it? Was it Skyrim? Was that PS3 or four? That was 3, right?
3, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
that Skyrim. That thing ran absolutely horrid the first like 3 weeks or until they got that first patch out. It'll probably be like that.
I could see something like that happening, and that's kind of why they had to delay it.
Yeah.
A few more weeks is so they can get that patch out.
Yeah. And like, but I don't think it's going to be that bad the entire time, but it's just going to be so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Like there's just no way it can hold like a steady, even like 30. I mean, a lot of games had problems with that on the systems already. You know what I mean? There were always drops. So.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm just wondering like if the, I'm assuming it's going to have dynamic resolution.
I mean, it kind of has to, I feel.
Mm-hmm. So like, I just imagine wonder like if it's going to help it keep it like a steady frame rate or something.
Yeah.
Steady enough. Cause like, yeah, there will be drops.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping they'd actually like show something. Like they haven't really shown all that much from this.
No, it was like the most disappointing like
collection of Night City wires.
Some current gen. Yeah, it's like okay, like just show side by side footage. Like that helps because I was literally watching it and I'd get lost whenever there'd be a change mm-hmm. in terms of like cutting for the editing. And I'm like, wait, which version are we looking at now?
Well, like I just want to see like you know. 15 straight minutes just go, you know what I mean, not cutting here and there, not cutting the people mm-hmm. interviewing, like just show like what you do like in a mission, like how it all plays out, you know.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for mission. It to release. Yeah, like, I'm just waiting for it to release so we can see just all the stuff that's in this game, and yeah, just to get it over with, because at this point, you know, I'm just like, let's just release it, just.
I mean, it's so much, like been in the works for like 8 years.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, just release it.
Maybe not that long, but for a while.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it was announced like forever ago. Yeah. I think it was announced almost simultaneously with Witcher 3.
It was, yeah, like right before it, like released or whatever. I mean, that was what, like 2015.
I think so.
I actually reviewed it right before I started my actual job in 2015. So like, it's been a long time coming.
mm-hmm. Yeah, it just needs to just release.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would have preferred like a better breakdown.
Yeah,
between the two. But I mean, I'm sure we'll get like a Digital Foundry video on it, and I would generally trust them to do a tech breakdown or a visual breakdown.
Yeah, certainly over anybody else, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially the company that's producing it, because Lord knows they're gonna sure.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it for this week in Cyberpunk.
Yep.
And I guess there should be something to be said about Cyberpunk and then going into the ransomware leak at Capcom, but it's still a ransomware leak.
Yeah,
it's not good. Even though we're getting all this info, it's not good.
No.
But yes, so there was a few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, something like that.
I feel like it was like fairly recent. I don't remember.
About 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
COVID makes like the time frame of everything so messed up.
Yeah, some things go faster, some things go slower. But yeah, so there was a ransomware leak from Capcom. There was one from Ubisoft as well, but I think that was handled. But the Capcom one, like a lot of information got leaked. I think it was like 10 terabytes or something. And they've only gone through a portion of it so far. And it lists a ton of stuff. Some obvious things, some surprises, but yeah, it's just like a whole bunch of things. I guess the big one for me is Monster Hunter Rise, which is coming out on the Switch in March, is supposedly going to get a PC release as well. in October of next year, which is good. Because the Switch footage has looked very rough. Speaking of rough.
I think that's kind of the trend with Switch footage recently.
Yeah. I mean, it's not terrible looking. I can deal with it, but it's just like, sweetie, honey. So I will be double dipping on that one. There's no doubt in my mind. There was some Resident Evil info as far as Village or 8 is concerned. I kind of got confused by it or something. I don't know.
Well, it is confusing because there's a lot of like multiple like Resident Evil titles showing up. Yeah, very in this similar. Link. Yeah,
yes,
they're all similar and they all sound almost like completely similar, the same
but different.
Yeah.
But then again, that's kind of Resident Evil. Like,
that's
like,
that's true. That's very true.
Tons of stuff.
I guess the big one with Resident Evil is that it looks like there's going to be a new multiplayer Resident Evil, which is going to be pretty much like a battle royale situation. So that's actually scheduled to release September 2021. And this leak pretty much no holds bar. This is just releasing all of Capcom's internal data. So these actual like dates that we give here, these are the dates where these things, where Capcom has scheduled these things to come out and to be shown. This one in particular with the Resident Evil multiplayer, this actually has to do with Village. And it's titled as Project Highway. And again, it's going to be like a multiplayer battle royale sort of a game. So that's an interesting one.
Never thought I'd hear those words together. Yeah. Resident Evil and battle royale.
Battle royale. So that's an interesting one. Even more Resident Evil stuff. Resident Evil 4 for the Oculus VR. That's for, you know, the Oculus Go and just pretty much all the VR stuff. So this is actually going to be a separate Resident Evil 4 project, because they are making a Resident Evil 4 remake. So Capcom is making a Resident Evil 4 remake, but Resident Evil 4 VR is just a completely different development title. So yeah, it's a lot of Resident Evil stuff, obviously. I think a surprising one for me is Ghosts and Goblins. So a new Ghosts and Goblins title is going to release on the Switch February 25th. You see exact dates. They pretty much, these leaks are in fact like real, because this is stuff getting pretty much stolen. So this is, you know, information that, you know, these data thieves are putting out on the internet for us to see.
But as far as the dates are concerned, I have heard that some dates might be a little bit inaccurate in the sense that things may have changed since the time they got leak.
Since the leak, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously things can change anytime, in general.
Yeah, anytime. That so.
But at one point in time, these were accurate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're accurate. Yes. Enough, I guess. they're accurate enough.
Yeah, it's more of like a general.
Ghost and Goblins. So that to me is interesting. We haven't seen a Ghost and Goblins game since the PSP version. So that's interesting.
Has it really been that long? Thing.
I could have sworn there was one for like 360 and PS3, but I could be misremembering. It could be like a
not Maximo. Else. Maximo came out before on the PS2.
Not Maximo. Okay. But I thought there was like a Ghosts and Goblins, but it might be like the original or the arcade port or something.
Yeah, the Switch, for, like, the Switch
last gen.
Because I know that one did come out.
Yes.
Yeah, so New Ghosts and Goblins coming out on the Switch and PS4, Xbox One, and PC. That's the stated platforms it's supposed to release on. So that's a big one. Ace Attorney 7 is in development, and then a port is being considered of 4 through 6.
Yes. Because there's a 1 through 3 trilogy out now. And I thought I saw something of that they were supposed to have 1 through 3 and then... Oh, that's what it was. They're going to have 1 through 3, and I think Dai Gakuten Saibon, which is the Great Ace Attorney, which was the, I guess, prequel. It's set, set way back in Japan's history, and, like, Sherlock Holmes shows up. It's weird. Those games never got a Western release for whatever reason. Because Capcom was, like, super shy with Ace Attorney releases. Because we only got the first Edgeworth Investigations game. And then not the second one, because apparently the first one didn't do so hot. So, yes, they're releasing the first two Great Ace Attorney games as well.
And another big one is Street Fighter VI. Obviously, we've known it was coming, but supposedly, what's going on now is that the details for Street Fighter VI are actually coming out. So there's more details on. They know the character roster already. And that's something that's about to leak as well to the general public. And for a fighting game, this is, for me, I'm like, why Capcom? Or why anyone why anyone? But for a fighting game, the character roster is a pretty big thing because you can hype up the character roster when marketing. So, you know, the full character list of Street Fighter VI is about to leak. So it kind of sucks because I like the hype in finding out who's next, but that is something that is going to leak, and it's been already told over like Twitter and all these places that this is going to be coming out hot real soon, and that Street Fighter VI is going to be on all the major platforms now. I'm, you know what, like, again, for a fighting game, it sucks. Like, this whole situation sucks for Capcom. But I'm surprised there's no Marvel game. Like, that leaked out. And I know a lot of people are like, what the fuck? Like, what the heck? Yeah, I'm just surprised that there's no Marvel. There was never a Marvel game in the works. Like of what was shown. Because this is showing, like, everything that Capcom, you know, has had in the oven and is trying to release, and Marvel versus Capcom is not there. So I don't know. I'm just not, this makes me not hopeful anymore.
Yeah. Having the about the whole situation leak is,
but even then this whole situation sucks. Just in general.
It's good to know, but it does drag down a lot of the hype. Cause you know, what's going to happen is, like, in every mention of every character, if any video or anything they do, they're like, oh, well, we already knew about this. You have people complaining, like, well, if this isn't interesting, then we already knew about this. It's like, bitch, it got leaked. Of course it's going to be hype deflating. It's just what happens in these situations. But I'm actually a little bit more interested to hear about Ono's Street Fighter VI. Because obviously this stuff is like stuff that's coming out. I was kind of hoping to get some more, I guess, info on can projects / things that, you know, never really materialized outside of like some production stuff. Because I'm interested in hearing about Ono 6, even though apparently it was very terrible. And I'm also kind of hoping to see what characters were planned for Marvel Infinite before that got canned. Because there was lots of rumors about, oh, you know, they were going to get this, they were going to get that.
Yeah. All right. And yeah, I guess we're going to move on to, more of the acquisition talks here with Microsoft. So recently, there's more talks about acquisition with the Xbox chief financial officer, the CFO of Xbox, has mentioned in an interview that this is what he stated here. We don't have intentions of pulling all of Bethesda's content out of Sony or Nintendo. We want it to be first or best on our platform.
I mean, people keep asking them the questions, which is the problem.
Yeah, because, it makes sense, because, like, what he said is probably the best case scenario, because there's no reason to stop selling fucking Skyrim on the Switch or on PS4. Yeah. Or even, like, you know, Doom Eternal, which just came out, like, you know, and they still have DLC, so there's no point in pulling it. So it makes sense to continually support it for as long as possible. And it's just going to be on, you know, games going forward.
That's the more interesting part.
Starfield and...
Eventually, I think they will. I think like a year, 2 years those later, two, but yes. I think they will.
Yes. Dishonored 3? No. Prey 2? No.
Doom will. I think Doom will. But anyway, like...
I think Doom has enough cachet that it would probably be. At the very least, I could see Doom also showing up on... the Switch, like
400p,
rather than PS5. Although technically, although apparently, there's rumors that GameStop was canceling people's Doom Eternal pre-orders for Switch.
I mean, I don't think they're connected,
but I mean, it did get delayed. It did get delayed from when it was supposed to be released. So, on one hand, yes. But on the other hand, it's probably like, at this point, they don't expect many people to buy it. So, they're like, whatever, we'll just do digital only. I wouldn't necessarily chalk it up to Microsoft. But
I think the biggest issue is, like, this acquisition didn't even go through yet, officially. That'll probably be sometime early next year. So, like, what are they? They can't definitively say anything. That's what makes it all kind of strange. Like, yeah, it's a long time from when you announce an acquisition and when the acquisition actually takes place. So everybody wants answers, but we're not getting those for a while.
Yeah, it's just like Disney and Fox, where it's like, well, we can't, like, they can't legally do anything with that stuff until they actually, end it. Because people were saying, like, oh, the X-Men are going to show up in Endgame. It's like, that's not going to happen.
I mean, there's even only so much you can say legally, So, like, I mean, I'm sure we'll get 10 more interviews, but maybe more before we, actually know, because the acquisition goes through and then they, I mean, who knows if they even have it figured it out yet? Like, but I mean, it's not like they lose money by selling their game on another system. They're still making money.
And not to mention, I could see them releasing first, 6 months or something on, PC /
Xbox,
Xbox. And then, a few months later, then eventually it'll release on PS5. But I don't think it's going to be on everything. I think it's going to be on Skyrim titles, Elder Scrolls titles, maybe Starfield, they might hold that. I don't know. And then Fallout. I think Fallout and Skyrim will probably be the two big ones. Starfield, maybe. I don't know. Because, it's still new. Brand it's a new, new IP. Who knows what they want to do with that.
We'll see.
But Fallout and Elder Scrolls are like this huge phenomenon, they're absolutely massive. I guess. Mm-hmm. But, oh, quickly, I wanted to mention, speaking of buyouts, there's a rumor that Sony might buy Bluepoint, which is what I called on the last podcast. Oh, and I just literally threw that out there, too. So it was just a random guess. So, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Guess that's a good segue into our final topic. Jim Ryan gives an interview for a Russian outlet. We don't know what it is. The Russian outlet is just like the Russian outlet. I just think that's hilarious. Anyway, when asked about responding to Game Pass, and he said, there's actually news to come, but just not today. And then he added, unsure if Starfield's coming to PS5, which nobody knows, obviously. But, I mean, the Game Pass news to me, like, he's not going to say they're not paying attention, you know? Of course they are. Whether they react to it or not is an entirely different thing. This is another one of those, you know, somebody in a high position in a company answering a question without actually answering a question.
yeah, they have nothing to say, like, so they don't say anything. They're not going to say,
like, oh, we don't care about it. Like, obviously, they're paying attention to it. They see the subscriber numbers, you know? Like, it's always on their radar, because it should be, because they are competitors, you know? But they're not going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to have a Game Pass competitor tomorrow or something, you know? Especially since it doesn't really make sense for them anyway, and they've said that multiple times. So I'd be shocked if they went as far in as, you know, Xbox has with Game Pass in general. But Game Pass is awesome. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, so a few times I've used Game Pass, it has been kind of cool, but for me, like, there's a bit of a dissonance between, like, not getting a game, buying a single game and, like, focusing on that, as opposed to, like, having a huge selection of games.
Yeah.
And
it's, I like, mean, it all comes back to, like, the consumer mentality, you know, like, how many games I can play versus, like, spending time with certain games, for sure.
Yeah, and it also comes down to, like, if something grabs your attention, like, because, like, I got a free month Game Pass with my Xbox One console that I got, like, a few months ago, and I used that free month for Battletoads, and, well, I regret it, but, you know, I did it specifically for that, so... There is some merit in
Yeah, that's how I kind of found out Katana Zero. Like, that wasn't really on my radar at all. And I was like, oh, this kind of looks cool. Absolutely love the game. Same thing with Ori. Like, everybody talked about how good Ori was and the Blind Forest. And, you know, I just... One of those things, I was like, eh, you know, I'll get to it one day. And I played that game. I probably finished it in, like, 3 days. It was so good. And I can't wait to play... Will-O-the-Wisps on Series X. But anyway, that's a little off topic. But yeah, Jim Ryan, you know, they're professionals at not answering these questions. It is what it is.
Exactly. Like, they just... I mean, yeah, because it's like they get asked questions and by people who think that they have... I mean, it's a good question and people need to know, but, like... I mean, they got nothing.
And it's like, what... You can't expect them to be like, oh, yeah, you know, in, you know, beginning of January, we're going to come out with Game Pass, like, competitor on PlayStation consoles, you know, like, that's just not how companies work. They're not that reactionary.
Yeah, they're not going to, yeah, they're not just going to, stealth drop, like, an announcement in, like, a random interview
right
with a random outlet.
Just launched. Like, maybe if we're, like, 3 years into it, like, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, something like that could happen, but these consoles just launched. Mm-hmm.
But it'd have to have, like, a build-up. Like, it wouldn't just be, here's some...
But, yeah, so Game Pass, maybe a competitor will come, probably won't, but Sony's always thinking of things to do, you know, to provide more value. I mean, that's kind of the name of the game, who can provide the most value. So... Yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Sony will do it when they feel they need
to. Which maybe that time never even comes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't see it. Yeah. I could see it not happening. For how well
their like first party sells, like I could totally see that not having to be a thing. But who knows? Yeah. Game Pass. All right, I'll take us out. I'm officially yes. Jose now, and we are closing the floodgates completely. Thanks for listening. Man, this is a lot harder than when you don't have to do it. Follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter. That's probably the reverse. You know what to do. Social media, we've had it for how many years now? Do the thing. We're going to have a lot of content going up on Dual Pixels soon. A big thing about Cyberpunk, the negative aspect of Cyberpunk going up pretty soon, but you know. Got to talk about everything. But yeah, we'll be recording soon again. So download us on Stitcher, whatever podcast service you use. We're probably there. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Catch you on the flip side.